you're in meditation and somehow magically, you know, you've kind of arrived, you're feeling fully engaged in the here and now, and then suddenly you think, Elvis Presley. Was he younger or older than John Lennon? So this practice is about re-arriving, no matter where the mind goes. So I'd like to say, for the first 25 years of my life, I pretty much thought the only reason I had a body was to make my head portable. But when it was I bumped into yoga and into meditation that I realized that the body is actually the doorway. It's this amazing portal into arriving in the present moment, and even more than that, really glimpsing and seeing into the nature of reality. So I'd like to talk tonight about how to work with the kind of the essential challenges that show up in practice, and to talk about why your body really is the home base for your practice. I'd like to explore, too, of how your issues are in your tissues, how thoughts and emotions and undigested experience can be found in the body, and how to navigate that a little bit. But also to explore of how awareness of the body is really a doorway to seeing into the nature of reality itself. There's a word in Pali, which is the language of the Buddha, that refers to the proliferation of thoughts. It's called papancha. There's something kind of onomatopoetic about that. It's sort of like you're sitting there, and papancha, papancha, papancha. This morning, as I was just watching my mind, I was just watching this amazing, the train of thoughts and how they occur. And for me, it was something like, you know, wow, it's cold in here. I wish there was a way to make it warmer. You know, global warming is a really, it's a really scary issue. You know, the issue of my New Yorker is going to be waiting for me when I get home. That'll be a lot of fun. You know, I've never been to a Lotaburger. I wonder if they'll have veggie burgers this week. You know, I am feeling kind of weak. Maybe I should go to the gym. I wonder how my friend Jim is doing. It's like tracing your browser history, if you've ever done that. You're looking on YouTube on how to reformat your hard drive, and then an hour later you're watching bear fighting in Siberia. Deeply, deeply humiliating. So perhaps you've noticed this phenomena and how shameless your mind is. There's nowhere your mind won't go. And this, of course, is the fundamental distinction in our practice. Are you paying attention to the cognitive process, or are you paying attention to your experience? Many decades ago, I was traveling with a small group in Iceland, and there was one fellow who just had a comment for everything. There was very little filter between his brain and his mouth. So wherever we went, he would just say, like, oh, this scene reminds me of that scene from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Oh, this reminds me of when I went rock climbing. Oh, this reminds me of the amazing sunset I once saw in Bali. And I remember sort of like screaming inwardly, can we just be here without adding anything? But of course, I do that all the time. And we do that all the time. Phenomena arises, and we got a story, a commentary on it. And all of this gets revealed in this practice. You get to see the subtlety of that ongoing narrative to what's happening. And so, shifting from the commentary on a sunset to the experience of the sunset is a very different world. And shifting from a story of sadness to the actual experience of sadness, well, that can open up all kinds of new worlds. So body awareness is a doorway to arriving. But it's more. It's much more than that. I find myself more and more saying, here's something the Buddha allegedly said, because there's so many. If you've ever seen the website Fake Buddha Quotes, it's fascinating just to see. And I was sort of imagining, even in the Buddha's lifetime, how many times would he hear people talking and he would just think, I never said that. But this one is verified. And when you listen to this, and maybe you've heard this before, but it's kind of a tantalizing promise here. There's one thing that when cultivated and regularly practiced leads to deep spiritual intention, to peace, to mindfulness, to clear comprehension, to vision, to knowledge, to a happy life here and now, to the culmination of wisdom and the culmination of awakening. And what is that one thing? It is mindfulness centered on the body. So mindfulness, or non-judging awareness, as I like to think of it, centered on the body. That's an incredible promise. It's extraordinary. So we have this fundamental issue in our lives. We're identified as thinkers. We identify with our mind, and thinking is amazing. The linear rational mind has immense power. It's created all kinds of inventions and medical cures and technologies. And as you know, that linear rational mind can also be a tyrant. When the mind is in control, you're pretty much limited to anticipating what's going to happen in the future or reviewing what's happened in the past, whether 5 minutes or 30 years ago. And when that linear rational mind dominates, you are relegated to judging and comparing and trying to figure things out. It's not a bad thing, but again, it can be very confining. It's a very confined box to live in. So what's the solution? Unfortunately, we have some pretty clear guidance in this practice. It's remembering that the home base in your practice is coming back to the body. It's a story of a benefactor, kind of a donor to the Buddha's works. And he was with the Buddha, and they were observing some people in one of the communities. And this benefactor asked, why is it that so many of your students seem so happy? And the Buddha said, well, we're aware of the body when we sit and when we walk and when we do our chores. And the benefactor said, but everyone sits and walks and does their chores. And the Buddha said, yes, but how many are aware when they do these things? How can the body be a doorway to radiance and to happiness? So perhaps just a short reflection. If you like, you can close your eyes. Just to take a moment to allow yourself to refresh your experience at the sense doors. If you direct your attention to the sense door of feeling, you may just note externally in your skin, can you feel the texture of the air? The texture of the clothes? Internally, how intimately can you feel a sense of warmth or coolness, pressure, a pulse or tingling, a subtle movement? noting the sense door of sound. And this distinction between listening to the filter of the mind, which will identify the location, the source, and whether it's a danger or not, or if you can, just for the next few moments, feel the direct, bare attention of sound vibration. Listening without a label. The sense door of taste, letting your attention flow into this field of perception. Awareness flowing into the realm of smell. And to sight, to the perception of light beyond your closed eyes, if your eyes are closed. How intimately can you detect the play of phenomena here? And through this particular lens, the brain is also acknowledged as a sense organ. And can you sense or feel or imagine the computations happening in your brain with all the stimuli? Just for the next few moments, releasing any sense of control, but opening to a sense of receiving all of this. And sensing who you are is the one who is aware, a quality perhaps of effortless attention. If you like, you can now deepen your breath, and you might even take a moment just to, as you open the eyes, just to notice the quality of light, the colors, shapes. And again, noting this perception of phenomena through the sense door. How does our experience in life arise? And does a thought occur before a feeling? Does a feeling occur before a thought? And there's kind of an interesting approach to this I find very helpful. If you look at the essential phenomena of who you are is this mind-body matrix, at the very, very primal foundation is energy. There's life force that's animating your body, and here's this field of energy, particles and waves. That energy, that flow of chi or prana or ki or Holy Spirit or whatever you call it, is then perceived through this filter of vedana, or a feeling tone. A feeling tone arises in the body, and that feeling tone will be perceived instantaneously in one of three categories: a quality of pleasant, a quality of unpleasant, and all that rides within, the neutral sensations. Without you being aware of that, what then arises is a thought form. Generally, I like this, I don't like this, I'm bored. With that may have some emotional content that arises out of that. And in that realm of thought, if you think the same thought over and over and over and over again, that thought will calcify into a belief. A belief is really nothing more than a thought that you've had 5,000 times. If you're not aware of the beliefs in your life, well, they'll form your habits. If you're not aware of your habits, that will form your character. And if you're not aware of your character, that determines your destiny. So we have an option of where we pay attention. You can explore your character structure, you can explore your habits, your beliefs, your thoughts. The essential invitation here is to come home, come back to the body, notice the subtlety of arising, of energy into feeling, and feeling into thought, and everything that arises from there. It brings you back to this primal experience of noticing what's happening as it's happening, and noticing your relationship to what is happening. Noticing the attitude, noticing the pushing, the grasping, the neutrality. And in there lies a phenomenal difference between reacting to what occurs in your life and the possibility of responding to what happens in your life. And therein lies an immeasurable possibility for freedom. So we can examine these fears individually. And we can also bring ourselves intimately back to the body, to that direct, raw experience of here and now. And there's an extraordinary story about what it's like to be aware of the body without additional commentary. It's a story in the Buddha's time of a very ill monk whose body was decomposing. And yet, when the monks came to visit him, he had this radiant glow about him. And they couldn't understand how he could be in apparently so much suffering and yet have this kind of beatific quality. And so they asked him, "What is your practice?" And he said, "I keep my awareness in the body itself, putting aside greed, fear, and concern for the world. The capacity to be present without adding a narrative to it." There was an EST trainer who heard about this and thought he would do an experiment. And a lot of the EST people are pretty hardcore folks if you're not familiar with them. So he decided to have a root canal done without any Novocaine, because he wanted to see if it was possible to hold a sense of one-pointed awareness on sensation without adding anything to it. So as the story goes, as he was doing it, you know, very, very deep concentration, and it was kind of going okay, and then the dentist said to him, "You know, this is pretty intense for me." And he said, "Shut up, don't distract me, and go back to work." And he navigated that intense pain with concentration on the here and now without adding anything. When I heard that story, it was really kind of inspiring, but of course I can't miss the opportunity to point out how this practice can help you transcend dental medication. I'm really sorry. But when you're in the body, when you're in the here and now, your system calms and you begin to relax. And from that state of relaxation, you're less reactive. You have the capacity to notice and respond. And when you look closer at this relationship between energy and feeling tone and thought and belief, it can be very powerful for revealing more information about your internal experience. There's a phrase that's often used by a lot of healers that says your issues are in your tissues, that your undigested experiences, your trauma, as well as your pleasant memories, they're in the soma, they're in the body. So I wanted to tell a story, and I tell this story from time to time. I haven't in a while. I know some of you have heard it. But it was an experience I had of working with the body. And this was maybe about 15 years ago. I was the CEO of a large nonprofit. And when it came to the end of my tenure, as often happens, there's politics and so forth. And And my departure wasn't entirely smooth. There was some pretty nasty politics, you know, on my way out. And it was a very, very stressful experience for me. So I decided to do like the most directly healing thing I knew what to do. And that was to do a month-long Vipassana retreat. And so during this retreat, there was some settling. There's always, you know, the dukkha, 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 and so forth. But there was some settling. But then these very strong sensations started to arise for me. And it was a very, very intense pain kind of between my shoulder blades. And it wouldn't go away. And I'm trained in, I lived in a yoga ashram for a couple decades. I know all kinds of techniques. And I threw every technique I had at this. You know, from different forms of yoga to pranayama to visualization to anything I could do to nuke it and make it go away. I even tried loving it unconditionally so that it would never come back again. And that failed miserably. And so I described to in my interview with one of the teachers what I was doing. And his response was very interesting. He said, well, maybe you're actually dealing with this superficially. Have you tried just being with it? That had never occurred to me. And so, kind of re-inspired, I went back to my chair, and I just thought, I'm going to be with this if it kills me. And so I just sat with it. And we speak of this acronym of RAIN. It's a fundamental part of the practice. Of just recognizing. And so as part of that practice of recognizing with this very, very intense pain, I decided to do the practice of noting, of just naming what's there. So I sort of named the different qualities of sensation. This is red hot pain. Oh, this is now waves of red hot pain. This feels like flames of red hot pain. Well, now this is white-hot pain. And now this white-hot pain is getting smaller and smaller. Now this feels like a point of a knife. And this feels like I'm being stabbed in the back. And my eyes just opened. And suddenly, with this came this flood of feeling stabbed in the back. A deep sense of betrayal of someone who I trusted who kind of threw me under the bus. And so I knew that part of the practice is to stay. And so as I stayed with those sensations, there was another flood of sensation that had to do with anger. So then the question was, can I be with this? Can I allow this? Can I investigate this? And how big can this anger get? And it just roared in all directions. The anger shifted to a quality of rage. That rage sort of shifted into a really deep sense of sadness. And the sadness, as I continued to name and allow, shifted to a very deep sense of shame and embarrassment. That sense of shame and embarrassment sort of opened up to a sense of stillness, and then just sort of spontaneously I thought about this other person. And I realized in those moments I had the capacity to do a role reversal where I could imagine what it was like for him, and I realized he was terrified of losing his position. He made a decision that was hurtful to me, but I understood on some level, his fear and how he acted out of fear and out of ignorance. After all that moved through, I checked back in with the sensation, and it was clear. At Spirit Rock, where I was meditating, the meditation center's up high, and then you walk down a long road to the breakfast room, and normally you walk there very, very mindfully, and I had so much energy freed up, I just ran all the way down. that was an extraordinary experience for me. And in part, I hesitate to share it because it's so dramatic, because it's got all the ribbons and bows attached to it. And practice isn't like that all the time. You know, what we're sensing is very amorphous. And yet there's information there that's available for us. I'd like to share with you some words from, this is from, I found this on the internet. So of course it's true. But it was ostensibly written by a doctor of Chinese medicine. And it is a beautiful articulation of this innate intelligence that lies in the body and the possibility of what it means to deeply listen and attend to what lives inside. So if you like, you can close your eyes. And you might imagine that the words I share are this voice of this innate intelligence in the body, this felt sense that is present. I am the pain in your head, the knot in your stomach, the unspoken grief in your smile. I am your hot flashes, your cold hands and feet, your agitation and your fatigue. I am where you hurt, the fear that persists, your sadness of dreams unfulfilled. I'm your symptoms, the causes of your concern, the signs of imbalance, and your condition of dis-ease. You tend to disown me, or suppress me, or ignore me, or inflate me, or coddle me, or condemn me. I am not coming forth for myself, as I am not separate from you. I come for your attention, for your embrace, so I can reveal my secrets. I have only your best interest at heart as I seek health and wholeness by simply announcing myself. You usually want me to go away, to disappear, to slink back into obscurity. You're mostly irritated or frightened or even shocked by my arrival. But I implore you. I'm a messenger with good news, as disturbing as I can be at times. I'm wanting to guide you back to those tender places in yourself, the place where you can hold yourself with compassion and honesty. If you look beyond my appearance, you may find that I am a voice from your soul. I am calling you back to places deep within you that seek your alignment. I may ask you to alter your diet or get more sleep or exercise or breathe more consciously. I might encourage you to see a vaster reality and worry less about the day-to-day fluctuations of life. I may ask you to explore the bonds and wounds of your relationships. I may remind you to be more generous and expansive, or to attend to protecting your heart from insult. I might have you laugh more, spend more time in nature, eat when you're hungry and less when pained or bored, or spend time every day, if just for a few minutes, in silence. I am your friend, not your enemy. I have no desire to bring pain and suffering into your life. I'm simply tugging at your sleeve, too long immune to gentle nudges. I desire for you to allow me to speak to you in a way that enlivens your higher instincts for self-care. My charge is to energize you to listen to me with the sensitive ear and heart of a mother attending to her precious baby. you like, you can deepen the breath, or if you like, you can keep your eyes closed. And we speak again and again of this circle with the line. Above the lines, which you're aware of, below the line, is that which is just coming into awareness. And when in your practice you sense that there is something there, something calling for your attention, but you don't yet know what it is, how do you access that? And I think the key is in that the final line of that reading. It's a quality of inner listening. My charge is to energize you to listen to me with the same sensitive ear and heart of a mother attending to her precious baby. Can you listen with that quality of attentiveness? If you've ever held a suffering child who can't tell you what's going on, or if you ever held an animal that isn't well, there's a very powerful, intuitive, empathic listening that we're called into. So in this relationship between mind and body, your issues are in your tissues. What exists in the body exists in the mind. I'd like to offer a little experiment just to sense if this is true. So if you like, you can close your eyes. And if you would, take a moment to imagine that you're in your kitchen and you have got a nice big lemon. And you cut that lemon in half. You cut each half into half. And you take that lemon, you bring it up and you smell it. And then you take a big bite of that lemon. So for a moment, you can open your eyes. And at least for me, that was a real visual treat. Because I saw a lot of faces going. So you think the thought of the lemon, there's a feeling inside. Another experiment. If you close your eyes. You take a breath and bring your attention now to someone who you know loves you. Someone who knows you well, who laughs at your jokes, who gets you. And as you think of this person, notice where you feel that inside. And if you would, bring your hand to where you feel that. And keeping your hand right where it is, you might, again, just open your eyes and just take a look around and notice where the hands are around you. Hands on the heart, hands on the throat, hands on the face. There's this direct relationship between the feeling tone and what we think. So as you train yourself in sensitizing yourself to this exploration of the body, it's very helpful in my practice to note that as you're tuning into your issues, that this felt sense, if you will, the feeling tone, will have a couple different characteristics. One is that it'll feel very strong and unmistakable. It's the lump in your throat. It's the burning in your eyes like you're about to cry. It's the ache or the grip in your heart. It's that twisted feeling in your guts like something terrible might happen. So that's unmistakable. You can't miss it. There's another quality which you may have noticed is that this play of the felt sense, it might sort of come as a wave or flicker or blip. It'll be really strong and then it's gone. And you may have noticed, like, wow, but this wave of grief went through me, but I'm looking and I can't find it. The third quality is oftentimes the most common when you're right on the line between what you're aware of and what you're not aware of. And that is that this feeling tone or felt sense will feel vague and unformed and kind of amorphous. So I find that the magic word in investigating this is something. There's something just heavy over my heart right now. Or there's something tight in my solar plexus. As you explore, there are a number of questions that I find helpful in the practice of recognizing. To ask yourself, what is happening right now? What is my experience inside right now? And again, as we've said, sometimes you name it. Some things are just self-liberating. As soon as you name it, it will shift and move. Sometimes it'll be more persistent. And questions that open up this quality of allowing is to ask, does it feel okay to be with us right now? Does it feel safe to be with us? Does it feel okay? And it's important to listen to that question. Because sometimes you may have a felt sense arise as saying, not now. And it's very skillful. Let it know you see it. Let it know another time when the conditions are different, your intention to be with it. But tremendously skillful to turn your attention. If you elect to investigate more in this felt sense, and again, you're sensing through the midline and the core, which is primarily where we feel the most, you can ask, where does this live on the inside? Where do I feel it? And sometimes it's very difficult to stay with it because it's very amorphous. So sometimes I'll ask myself this question. How would I describe this to someone listening so they could recreate the same sensations? Does that make sense? Because as you're describing it, as if someone else could really recreate the same sensations, it'll develop your concentration. It'll help you to really name the subtlety of what's there. And you can explore the shape. Is there a shape? Is there a color? Another question to ask sometimes, is there an emotional word that really resonates with this feeling? But then check back. Because quite often, a word that arises may not resonate with what's there. You may ask yourself, is there an emotional word? And it may be, yeah, this is anger. Then you may check back and ask, is this the right word? And it might be, oh, this is disappointment. So that can be a very helpful way to really attune to what it is that's there. When you explore this aspect of nourishing, of holding, or calling on compassion and loving presence, you might ask some of the other questions. And one of them is, what is this need right now? And then listen. How does this want me to be with it right now? If I were to hold this in loving presence, how does it shift or move? If I remember that other people feel this too, how does this change? This is not a science. It's an art. And it's a practice that can help you move into greater and greater discernment of what is present for you. And there's an important thing I'd like to share. And that is that when you are visited by your demons, by these energies that are strong and persistent, and when you feel intuitively called to investigate what's arising, quite often what we're drawn to investigate has some form of unpleasantness. But there's another skillful practice, and that is when you are visited by those wholesome states, when you experience compassion or kindness or joy or spaciousness or freedom, explore that as well. What does freedom feel like inside? How does this spaciousness want you to be with it right now? We're not only acquainting ourselves on how to be with the 10,000 sorrows, but we're also deeply investigating the 10,000 joys, increasing our capacity for kindness and compassion and joy. So awareness of the body can help you deeply discern what is here. It can also point to some of the essential characteristics of reality. When you deeply acknowledge life in this body, you have to acknowledge that this body is going to get sick and get old and die. That contemplation is both brutal and real. One of my favorite readings, if you like, you can close your eyes. This is entitled Living in the Body. Body is something you need in order to stay on this planet, and you only get one. No matter which one you get, it will not be satisfactory. It will not be beautiful enough. It will not be fast enough. It will not keep on for days at a time, but will pull you down into a sleepy swamp and demand apples and coffee and chocolate cake. Body is the thing you have to carry from one day into the next. Always the same eyebrows over the same eyes and the same skin when you look in the mirror. And the same creaky knee when you get up from the floor. And the same wrist under the watch band. The changes you can make are small and costly. Better to leave it as it is. Body is a thing you have to leave eventually. You know that because you have seen others do it. Others who were once like you, living inside their pile of bones and flesh, smiling at you, loving you, leaning in the doorway, talking to you for hours, and then one day they're gone. No forwarding address. Again, if you like, you can open the eyes, or if you like, you can remain with them closed. Awareness of the body is a powerful way of calling your attention to the here and now. It's a powerful way of gathering your attention. The body only lives in the here and now. It doesn't live in the past. It doesn't live in the future. Anytime you connect to the raw data of sensation, you are here. The body is also this treasure trove of information. And as you again and again tune into it and explore this relationship between energy and feeling tone and thought and emotion and all of that, it will reveal tremendous amounts of information. It will reveal to you what is between you and feeling free, what is between you and feeling happy. And there's more. Awareness of the body is a doorway into seeing into the characteristics of reality themselves. The Buddha taught that, and again, He would always say, don't believe a word of what I'm telling you. But if you pay close attention to the moment-to-moment phenomena that arises out of your body, you may begin to notice three fundamental characteristics. The first is recognition of impermanence, a recognition that anything born of causes and conditions is subject to change, including this body. The second characteristic you begin to see is in direct relationship to anicca, in direct relationship to what is changing, and that is this quality of dukkha, of stress, of unsatisfactoriness. And that is your relationship to what is changing has direct correlation to the degree of stress and suffering. Anything you hold on to, anything that's changing that you don't want to change, anything that isn't changing you do want to change, to the degree you resist, to that same degree you will experience stress and suffering and dissatisfaction. If you hold on, you experience rope burn. The third characteristic of reality that you begin to see by immersing yourself again and again in the body is this reference to what is called anatta. And anatta refers to not self. That who you are is the product of causes and conditions. The conditioned self. It's your body. It's your character structure. It's your preferences, your life story, your aversions, your attractions. All of that is a makeup of who you are. But it points to something else. It points to an unconditioned self. If you think about who you were 6 years old, looking at yourself in the mirror, and you look in the yourself in the mirror now, you might notice your body's gotten older. But have you changed? Is the one who is looking any different? So as you practice, it's so helpful to remember with all the skillful means that we're sharing with you that this elemental practice of coming home to the body is really home. You may be familiar with the story of the Zen master with his young pupils who's standing over them and directing them all the time. And when they're doing their studies, he stands over them and he says, when you read, read. One pointed attention. When they're having their meals, when you eat, eat. One night, some of the students were hungry and they kind of broke into the kitchen. They found their teacher reading the newspaper and eating a bowl of rice. They stood around because they knew they had him busted. They didn't say anything. And he looked up and he said, when you eat and read, eat and read. But nonetheless, is it possible to cultivate a sense of one-pointed, moment-to-moment awareness of sensation? As you begin to settle, one thing you can begin to explore, and I was sharing this in some of the groups today, that there's a tendency to, when you're sitting, it's time for walking meditation. Well, you sit, then you go out and you walk. And then you walk, and then you come in and you eat. Is it possible to build a sense of continuity? So as you're standing, you're aware of standing. As you turn, you're aware of turning. Can you keep that sense of moment-to-moment-to-moment awareness? One of the helpful things I find sometimes, not all the time, is as you're transitioning to consciously slow down. Like choose a speed that you're going to go at that is different than your habitual speed. Can you go from here to walk outside at 80%? And you may find the degree you slow down, it may heighten your sense of awareness. So as you reach for the door, you can feel the door as you're opening it. And if nothing else, as you explore kind of the slow motion movement through the day, as this yogi noticed earlier, you're going to look really cool. So everything becomes a practice of embodied awareness. Brushing your teeth, drinking at the fountain, having a cup of tea. When you experience discomfort, turn your attention to that discomfort, if that feels right. When you experience a strong, wholesome state, can you explore the embodied quality of that, to know it more and more intimately? These are the possibilities that arise in our practice. Let's take a few minutes to close, and I'll have a final reading to share with you. How intimately can you experience this moment? Within the body you are wearing, now inside the bones and beating in the heart, lives the one you have been searching for so long. But you must stop running away and shake hands. The meeting doesn't happen without your presence, your participation. The same one waiting for you there is moving in the trees, glistening on the water, growing in the grasses, and lurking in the shadows you create. You have nowhere to go. The marriage happened long ago. Reflecting on these words from John O'Donohue. May your body be blessed. May you realize that your body is a faithful and beautiful friend of your soul. And may you be peaceful and joyful and recognize that your senses are sacred thresholds. May you realize that holiness is mindful, gazing, feeling, hearing, and touching. May your senses gather you and bring you home. May your senses always enable you to celebrate the universe and the mystery and possibilities in your presence right here. as we close with the three chimes of the meditation bell. You might open the sense door of sound, noticing the arising of sound, the sustaining of sound, the falling away of sound. Namaste.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.